Welcome to LeagueCast.
Blinded by the shadow of your light path. Headshot.
Let's go. More democracy.
Welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 419 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Thinking Cooper. Joining me is just Aiden Frost Rockhards.
Hey, oh, what's good?
Hey, Colton is in Florida right now. So he will not be joining us this week, but he should be back next week. He's taking a nice little vacation. So just the two of us. Before we get into our weeks, first we are going to do some patron name reading. It's the first of the month. Boy, I kind of fucked that one up, huh? First of the month, so we'll get through everything. We got some LeagueCast news. We got some Rising news. As always, there's a lot of news. I don't think we're going to be doing any Guaranteed Guffaws this week, simply because the amount of stuff we got on the docket elsewhere. A tiny bit of LCS news roundtable, and then we're going to round it out with a ton of emails. You guys really put in work this week in the email department. But before we get into the show, Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I've had a lot of schoolwork, and I also wasn't feeling well at the beginning of the week, so it's been a bit of a struggle. But outside of that, I've been playing a fair bit of ranked on my Smurf. I've been playing with Trevor a fair bit. On that account, I'm like trying not to play Pyke every game because I feel like I can just like win every game with Pyke. But man, yeah. The difference between like my Smurf's plat 3, by the way, right? My main's plat 2-1? Plat 1? It's plat 1. The difference in the quality of the games is so fucking unreal, man. Like, yeah. My main accounts feel clean. Everyone feels like they're playing well. The games are fast-paced. The Smurf games, like, I honest to God, man, despite them being, like, two divisions apart, it feels like no one's played the game. And, like, I feel like 50% of the games I play, just everyone is a negative win rate player. Like, I'll go into Champion Select. This is, like, Plat 3, which is, what, top 4% of players right now, 4.5. And we'll have games where like 8 out of the 10 players are negative win rates.
Yeah, I've sort of felt the same way on my Smurf. I played a lot on my Smurf and not a lot on my main. And yeah, the main, like, my main games just feel like so smooth. Everyone's working together and just like have a general high level of game knowledge and ability. And then I hop on my Smurf and just like fucking the worst. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, we played this game I think it was like 2 or 3 nights ago. Where I decided to play Alistar, right? And in that game, I don't think there was a single good player. Like, we ended the game, we went, holy shit, every single player in the game just sucked. Like, I played like shit, Trevor played like shit.
Yeah.
All of our players played like shit. Our Lee Sin, at 12 minutes, he was 0-0-0.
Oof.
He's a jungle player, by the way, a jungle-only player.
Sure.
He doesn't play Lee Sin, though. Like, their bottom lane was Senna, Yasuo duo, and, like, we crushed them in lane despite them being, like, that duo, and that's all they play in duo. They had a Malphite top who missed his first three ulties of the game. Like, it was just bad, man. It was just not a good game. like those games are funny because they're so just poor quality.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's kind of fun, though. I'm still enjoying it. I just want to play, like, not support on my Smurf, but it's hard to get characters. I'm currently in the struggle where I want to play top, but I don't own Ornn, so I don't really want to queue top without owning Ornn and then, like, some other characters.
I actually just purchased Ornn on my Smurf pretty recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way I'm playing top lane without that champ.
Mm-hmm. You just, like, don't want to have to ban him, because then you can just play him if he's open.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, I never want to play Ornn, but I, if they pick a difficult matchup, I'm just going to play Ornn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I'll go in thinking, okay, I'm going to play Camille this game because that sounds really fun. They picked Darius. Not going to play anything challenging into that.
Oh, and I had, like, one more game that was, like the worst game I've ever played in my life. I played I think I played Set this game. I believe it was Set. And the enemy laner picked Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Smurf player, but she picked Quinn, which is not a good matchup, by the way. I died to her like twice in lane, which isn't that bad, but I was down like a fucked amount of CS, right?
Mm-hmm.
The real problem comes from the fact that our bottom lane crushed their Ezreal so hard into the ground that their Yuumi left, and their Yuumi just went to the Quinn, who then roamed around the map at Mach 12 for the next 20 minutes, killing everyone. Like, the game would have been better for us if if that Ezreal one lane. Like 100%, yeah. I guarantee you that. But because the Yumi, because the Ezreal lost lane, Yumi just went on the Quinn and she got she went 28-5 that game.
Jesus Christ!
It's just like that's actually so crazy that someone losing lane was the optimal play for their team.
If I'm not mistaken, that pick those combos got picked as a bot lane, in Korea this past week.
Oh yeah, that I makes believe. Sense. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I like you said, basically went Mach 12 and then just farmed everything everywhere and was able to participate in fights while also split pushing like a monster.
So I just looked at her damage, by the way, that game. She ended with 72,000 damage.
Uh-huh.
The next closest was their Amumu jungle with 25,000.
Oh my god.
And Jesus. I felt bad because like I lost lane really hard because like I got overpicked and whatever. But I fed her like 3 kills in lane. But dude, that fucking Yumi just made her kill everyone on the entire map.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty nightmare matchup. I mean, if you can interrupt her vault with your E, maybe it's fine. But that seems like such a difficult Twitch reaction to have.
The main problem is she kites you until you use your E.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't use your E, she's gonna keep kiting you because you don't have any go on her until. Use your E, and if you use
yeah,
your E,
then and then she just vaults away. Yeah, I see. So it's like any matchup with Fiora.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Oh well. What about you?
So I have not been playing a lot of League. I've kind of been taking a break. I've been enjoying old school RuneScape quite a lot. Making a ton of progress on that actually. Kind of just enjoying like. Sitting back and grinding for a little bit, you know? Aside from that, been watching like a lot of just stuff, YouTube stuffs. I've watched one very strange movie with my girlfriend this past weekend. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Swiss Army Man.
No, I haven't.
But it is a movie with, I don't remember the sort of lead actor's name. I know him as one of the, McDoyle brothers from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
He's the like the blonde one and Daniel Radcliffe, and it is fucking weird. Daniel Radcliffe plays a dead body. It's just wild.
Huh.
I don't want to like ruin too much, but the opening scene is the actor that I can't remember his name
Paul Dano apparently.
Paul Dano, okay, sure. About to kill himself via hanging. He sees Daniel Radcliffe's body, realizes it's dead, goes back, and then sees Daniel Radcliffe farting, and then rides Daniel Radcliffe like a jet ski to freedom.
Hell yeah.
And if that doesn't like get you going, I don't know what will. It was super funny, though. I think that's about it for my week. Nothing too crazy. So let's get into the wall of support. We have new patrons, which I'm going to mention first. Thank you to David, Wall, Pontus, and Little Lorian for your support. Little Lorian's in the chat with us right now. Appreciate the support. For the monthly wall of support, we thank you to Aaron, Abraham, Adorky Owl, Alex, Annie, Asmo, Austin, Banyumi, Big Peen Sheen, Blooper, Bogan Blade, Brett, Brother Dust, Burning Fear, Buy Stuff, Caleb, Chaz, Chris, Christian, Chris, Coca-Cola, Corey, Cross and Gaming, Daniel, David Fine, or Finney, sorry, I just pronounced your entire name, Dragon Jesus, Dream Villain J, Dylan, Eddie, Eden, Inebriated Otter, Foxloaf, Gray White, Grendel Butter, Harry, Howling Wind, I'm in the Bushes, Isaac, Jake, Jighi, Joachim, Joseph, John, Josh, Joshua, Justin, Kennedy, Kirk, Klon, Amy, whew, Cole, Crix, Liam, Lil Barnabas, Lilorian, Luna Blanco, Mariah Stewart, Marshall M, Matthew, Rolifs, Michael Hajik, Mitchell, M. Key Fius, Mr. Turch, Mountain Drew, oh Jesus, Nicholas, Niku, because it's meat in Japanese, Noah Moore, Pards Bay, Patrick, Pontus, Purple Play Panda, Rattlesnake Jake, Rebecca, Red Lefty, Ryan H, and Ryan R. I'll clarify those for dual names in the future. Samuel, Speedy Spikes, Takuru, Tanner, Tyler, Wall, Zod, Yashru, Zachary, and Zach. Whew. That list is getting long, my friend.
It is.
The list is getting long. I'm pretty proud. Pretty proud. Thank you, everyone, for your support. We appreciate it a ton. Looking forward to providing great content continuously.
Hell yeah.
So, Aiden, why don't you tell us about some of the LeagueCast news we have while I catch my breath.
A lot of it's just like some more reminders and stuff. We still have the Google form in our announcement tab on our Discord if we are going to end up doing the you laugh, you lose. So if you have a funny League video from like any point in League history, be sure to submit it there if you'd like. I also edited a top plays montage this month for February. That went up on the 1st. It's up on our YouTube channel. Please check that out. I think it's pretty good. The more and more I watch it, the more I'm happy with it. I think a lot of it's like song choice just because I feel like good music makes good videos.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with that. So be sure to check out our top plays montage on our YouTube channel, LeagueCast Podcast, or come into our Discord and, post your plays, to be featured in next month.
Post them in six plays NA.
Yeah, hell yeah. And then other than that, just a basic reminder, if you're a patron, the second episode of our Fixes Champion series is live. That will go live for non-patrons sometime this month up on our YouTube channel. And then we'll post our third episode sometime this month for our patrons.
Yeah. Cool. So... first up on League news is we have a post from Riot about ranked in matchmaking updates. So essentially, they have several goals that they kind of have highlighted and want to tackle in the future. Specifically, improved matchmaking quality without compromising queue time and availability, improved transparency around ranked in matchmaking systems, improved progression satisfaction and skill expression, and to make rewards more recognizable and relevant for time spent in League, and players can play with and find others that they want to play with. And then it sort of just goes into a sort of a breakdown on how they plan to, or I guess acknowledging that these are problems and sort of very entry level ideas for how to tackle these. Were there any that you wanted to like highlight specifically?
The main thing was, I think that they're like the main things they're targeting that are important are autofill balance and duo balance. They're going to be focusing a lot more on, making sure that like this, each team has the same amount of autofill players, and that, there's the same amount of like duo players on each team, which is super, super important.
Yeah. I think those are sort of the two big ones.
They have some stuff they're working on in the future, but it's like not fully like ready to like be launched. They know that there's issues with new accounts being like placed into games that are like too high skill level and stuff like that. But yeah, I feel like they're going in the right direction at least. I think changes like these are needed. I guess the one big thing that people are excited about them talking about, but they haven't made any notes about it here, is that they mentioned that promotion series is there's too many. It's too big of a source of frustration. So they're currently looking at the promotion series system and maybe making some changes to it to see how it feels.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, like, I guess promotion series in general. Do you have an issue with them? Do you like them?
I would prefer if they weren't, like, in the, like, middle tiers. I feel like promoting from, like, gold 1 to plat 4, I think having a series is fine, even though it's, like, an artificial gate for some reason. It still is, like, a sense of accomplishment. But I feel like having those at every single stop feels, like, a little bit much.
Yeah, I guess I can understand that. I think, yeah, I sort of feel the same way. It would be... I like promotions, like, as an idea. It can be a little frustrating sometimes when you get a series of poor ones back to back to back. But I don't know. I feel like there's a huge, I don't know, sense of like victory whenever you finally accomplish it that I really enjoy. And then there's sort of the argument that like, they are important for making sure that no one's Elo is too highly inflated as a result of demotion protection, but that can always be adjusted and addressed as need be.
Yeah,
I know just, a lot of people are kind of hating on promotion series right now.
No, I think there is reason for it, but I do agree there are benefits that people aren't like realizing. I think the more people play like Legends of Runeterra or TFT, where there isn't these promotion series, that I feel like they don't like the negatives that come along with not having them. You know what I mean? Like getting dropped out of the ELO when you reach zero. I think a lot of people are like, what? I usually get protected or whatever. And I feel like that kind of feels bad. But I think that, I honestly think that having maybe not series for like the minor division games, but like for the full like divisions, like gold to plat, plat to diamond is important.
Yeah.
But still, like the further you move away from these series, the closer you're just getting to like just, you might as well just have an ELO system, right? At some point, you just have an ELO system like that has titles on it, and that's not a good system either, right?
I wholeheartedly agree, and this is something that has been popping up on Reddit specifically as a solution, is to just remove the sort of LP and rank in general and replace it with just revealing the MMR of the account, which personally, like, I don't like. I guess seeing that clarity would be kind of nice, but having it so, I don't know, I'm a 1500 MMR player, which is, let's assume, gold. This game I'm silver, so I can't play with my, like, plat friend anymore. Oh, next game I'm gold, now I can. Like, I don't know, it's weird.
I think they always did that by, like, a certain amount of points between each other, I remember, like, back in Season 1. So here's my problem with it, is that, what were you just mentioning? I got distracted.
We were talking about using MMR as, like, a ranked thing.
Yeah, I just feel like, so that's, like, in theory, the best method, right? Like, it's used in games like chess, obviously, if you have an ELO system, right? It makes sense. But the reason why Riot puts in a, like, actual ranking system is because it encourages players to climb, right? It encourages you to achieve gold rather than achieve 1400, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's like ties, emotional ties that they like have implemented that I'm sure they have data on if they're working or not, and maybe that's why they're keeping them or they aren't, right? I think that's the main reason why they don't want to get fully rid of it, which I could think is completely fair. I just think that having these weird gated promotions is a little bit awkward as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. One example of a game that I did not enjoy just true MMR was Overwatch, where it felt like, oh, as soon as I got to the next level, oh, it's 500 like points of grinding.
Yeah,
like, and that seems like so overwhelming when, I don't know, there's really nothing to play for at that point, where I don't know, like getting from, let's say, like, gold to diamond seems so much easier despite it being the same, like, number of points, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe points aren't gained at the same level or at the same rate, but it just seems so much less overwhelming to me, I suppose.
No, I agree. I do think they have the systems in place for a reason. I just feel, I do understand people's struggle of, like, not, it does kind of suck when you're a 1,400 point player, right? And you're playing at a rank that should be 1600 or like 1200, let's just say, in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you can get up to where you should be is by winning games against people who are a higher amount of points than you, despite you having a lower title. You know what I mean? Like, there's weird imbalances that happen, and they do have systems to, like, to correct those, but I don't know if they work fast enough to, like, correct where you should be.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I was going to say, their method of correcting stuff is you just don't lose points, really. Which I think feels really shitty, like, as a player. Like, when I can win one game, then lose three and be equal, like, that, like, what they're trying to do is like, get me to where I should be, right? They realize that I should be higher. And so, they're trying to artificially increase my climb. But, like, that just feels not fun, right? Like, I don't feel like I should, every one win should equal three losses for me, right? Like,
yeah, and I mean,
I'd rather just be put there.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, well. Either way, it looks like they have good things to come. I really hope that this will help out a lot. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do. I feel like they usually do a good job in general, though.
I think so, too. Yeah. I'm pretty excited to see these changes and how it will affect my climb specifically going forward. Mm-hmm. Next up, league boards are closing March 9th.
This is 5 days, Nick,
as the date of recording. Yeah, they're forums that are very toxic and probably not. No?
No, they are. I think they are.
Very toxic. I thought you said aren't, and I was like, no. Jesus, I disagree.
No, they are. That being said, it's very interesting because now they're kind of having Reddit be their boards in a way, right?
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
There's when we get to talk about Valorant, I want to talk about that. But it feels like we had a discussion a couple months ago. Like, it wasn't a full-fledged discussion, but about how this isn't confirmed, but it does seem like there are mods on r/League of Legends that are either working with or in the best interest of Riot, removing certain content and keeping certain content up. And that's interesting, right? When you have a public thing that's supposed to be the face of the community being controlled or at least censored, or at least they're trying to stay on the good side of Riot because they want to get stuff beforehand or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's altering that type of content. That's obviously all speculation, but I do think there are issues with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so as well. Then it sort of becomes an echo chamber. I think the one thing to note is that we are seeing a lot of negative Riot, at least comments, maybe mm-hmm. not content.
Yeah.
So,
this is more of this. Our original conversation was based around the leaks of those, some of the leaks from a couple months ago, where those leaks got immediately removed from Reddit, right? Where,
yeah,
should that be allowed? I'm not sure if it goes against the subreddit rules, but it definitely seems like it would be something that's not in Riot's interest to keep up, right?
Yeah, and that may be something with Reddit terms of service, or specifically r/League of Legends, not terms of service, but rules.
Yeah.
That may I'm not sure, influence the content that can go up in that regard.
I guess the conversation, I'll spring up the Valorant conversation here. They announced their new game, Valorant, which is their character shooter, CSGO, Overwatch type game, where they made a subreddit, right? They obviously told the mods beforehand that here's what the name of the game is. We'd like you guys to set up the subreddit. You guys are currently the mods on r/League of Legends, so you're also going to be the mods on r/Valorant, right? And that creates a weird thing where now your mods are once again from the same community that is potentially being influenced by the company, right? I know Monty had a very good post on Twitter about this, where I understand wanting to have a community of mods that are obviously have history of doing good work, right? Working with the game and stuff like that. But you should probably to make it not biased, you should pull mods from other CSGO, Overwatch, whatever communities, right?
Yeah, or at least try to reach out to them and see if they're interested.
Yeah. I just feel that does it creates I guess these weird feelings. I'm not gonna say I personally don't believe that there's any collusion or they're working with them, but I do think they have at least an interest to stay on Riot's good side, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, on the devil's advocate, if they pulled a CSGO mod and that mod began to see the effects of the potential effects of Valorant on the CSGO scene, do you think then that would lead to an abuse of power?
So there were that was what the conversation kind of led into. It was do you think that they would try to harm our game, right? When it's a competing game or whatever, and stuff like that. And obviously you can deal with stuff like that on it in a different way, but at least it would feel good to have not just a copy paste of a community mod set, I guess.
Yeah, no. I agree. Just a separate sort of mindset to think about, I suppose.
It's interesting, though.
Yeah. Cool. Next up, we have a client cleanup campaign. That's a little difficult to say. They are trying to ensure that, I guess, you are loading into game quickly enough that it's not taking too long to go through champ select. What were the other things that they...
There's weird lock-in delays. When you click lock-in, there's been a longer delay recently on the time that it actually takes to lock-in.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. It sounds like sort of just things to make the client a little bit better. Definitely, I think, worth a read, but I don't know. Again, anecdotal, you know, evidence, but the client works fine for me.
Yeah. The main problem is that even if it works fine for us, it works fine for, like, I would say everyone I know, personally.
Yeah.
That being said, if it doesn't work fine for, like, the 1 out of 100 people, right, then there's a problem, right? You can't have it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm glad they're always working towards it. I just feel like it's sad to see people, like, negative about it. Like, I'll see it when it happens. But it does seem like they're, like, working hard about it. I feel like it's just one of those things that doesn't get fixed, like, really easily, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
I think they're hardworking people.
I think so, too. Yeah. Valorant. Aiden? You want to talk about Valorant?
Yeah, Valorant. It looks super cool, man. They're like little, so they've only shown like a little bit of like video and like stuff, but it looks clean. All their specs and stuff, like all their like game overview stuff of like what they're going to try to have it running at. They said they're going to have 128 tick servers, which is way better than any other game like played. That's like what CSGO like live servers are. Like
wait, how many? 120?
128 tick servers.
Oh, like CSGO, shit, that's fast.
It's a lot. Tick rate, like that's like the how often it like calculates. I don't know the exact term. Either way, I don't Overwatch launched with like fucking 30 tick servers or whatever, right?
Yeah, PUBG had an issue where it was pretty low as well, right?
Yeah, I mean PUBG's is like grossly because there's 100 people in the game, right? So PUBG slowly climbs throughout the game Like,
oh, true.
As it like gets better, but yeah, the PUBG roughly. PUBG's at like 30 at the very beginning, like tick rate, and then it slowly goes up. That's crazy. Either way, super cool that they're gonna like guarantee 128 tick servers. They said at least 30 frames per second on like minimum spec computers. That's obviously for like the Asian markets where like there aren't as beefy computers, which is super cool that they're gonna allow it to run on like lower end computers. That being said, they even said like they'll be able to run at 60 or 144 on modern rigs. And they're also going to have a global spread of data centers aimed to like have an average of like 35 milliseconds of ping for like major cities across the world, which is super awesome.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just glad they're like honestly like focusing on the like the back end stuff. I feel like shooter games like need this like back end way more than any other game.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree.
Other than that, we don't really know too much. The characters look very League of Legends-esque. They almost look like they're takes on League of Legends characters, but in a different universe, which is super cool. They showed like an Akali-looking character and then like an Echo-looking character. I'm not sure if you saw them, but they look similar.
Which was the one that shot the like smoke screen you can see through?
I don't remember. I don't remember like that exactly. I just like have been looking at their art a lot, and it looks super sick.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, looks sick. Do you want to continue and tell us about the Galaxy Pass?
Yeah, so we're getting more and more news about TFT Galaxies, the new update coming this month, actually. And I think it's looking super, super awesome. They keep making the game like a more, I guess like a more balanced creation, which I think is something that obviously you learn as you like are developing a game. So like they're maintaining their like three pillars of like never paying for like power, keeping it like fun and engaging, and creating content that like allows you to like do whatever you want in game, right? You can like just you can have fun, I guess is the reality of what they're trying to get at. So they mentioned that they are gonna have like another pass, but like I think they're good. They're getting a lot better about like the goodies that they're giving you in passes. I feel like they're doing this for League of Legends as well.
For sure.
Their actual passes aren't just like icons anymore and stuff like that, so they're giving you like actual like little legends and stuff. I feel like all their goodies just have been getting a lot better. Like it actually, I don't feel bad paying for stuff like this. It feels like I'm actually getting my worth out of it, which is awesome. As for like actual characters and stuff like that, let me like pull up this. I was like looking at some of the characters that are coming out in TFT this what do you want to call it, this set. And I wanted to like go over a couple of them that are like so fucking cool, dude. One of them, I'll just go over like some of the five costs because like there's like a ton. They have like a lot of cool different things. We've talked about them a couple times over the past couple weeks. But let me go over the five cost ones, dude. They're actually insane. Because you know how like five costs, there's only 10 five costs in the game, so you need 9 to get a level 3 version. So it's always like insane, which I think is cool. I'm so glad they make it like, hey, if you don't play around this guy going for like a 9 of these characters, you're going to lose. And I feel like that's a really cool mechanic. Okay, I found them. five cost character. So there's Aurelion Sol. He just like circles the fucking battlefield like a starship, and he has like these little like drone things that shoot out and fucking just attack shit. Echo uses W and it just does like a billion damage and stuns everyone. Gangplank calls down like an orbital strike sort of thing.
Nice.
Which is cool. Lulu polymorphs stuff. When she, if you do get her to level 5, which once again is very impossible, she polymorphs 12 enemies for 4
Holy
seconds.
Holy shit. It for goes 4 two, seconds?
Yeah, 2, 3, then 12, right? Because they always do the first two scalings reasonable. It's so fucking... I love when they do like the crazy scaling. Misfortune does it
all.
Yeah,
Amumu's was like that last time, right?
Yeah, but the craziest one like for their scaling is Thresh. Thresh has such a fucking cool ability, man. So he's a 5-star unit, or 5-cost unit, right? He throws his lantern to an unit on the bench, a random unit on the bench, and pulls them in. So you have an extra unit for the round.
Oh, that's so cool.
But if you do happen to get him to level 3, I want to see clips of this happening.
Entire bench.
He pulls 9. Yeah, he pulls your entire bench onto the field.
Holy shit.
You just win the game if you do get Thresh 3. Obviously, if you get any of them like level 3, you probably win the game. But I think that mechanic's so cool. Just pulling a unit onto your field. Like, that means you can build another unit that they can't position around with stuff, right?
Yeah. That's insane, yeah.
It's a cool ability. That's so unique.
Is it just his passive ability, or is it his ulti?
That's just his lantern. It just pulls them in.
I guess what I'm asking is like, does it happen like one time a match or?
Oh, it's at the beginning. Yeah, I think.
Okay, so it's just one. Okay, sweet. I believe. So it's not like you could build Spear of Shojin with level 1.
It's
just
mana,
eat
man.
Everyone.
There's a mana cost on it. Maybe he can do it multiple times.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool.
Ooh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's fucking cool. I think it costs like a ton though, because like it says his level 1 mana cost is 30, 60, then 150, which I guess it's probably a 200 mana spell. So that's what he starts.
Yeah, probably.
That's cool.
Huh.
Yeah, that's a cool. That's the coolest awesome, ability though. Man, I love the shit they're doing with that game. Even though I'm not like the biggest fan, it's still something to fun to play casually. Like pretty fun.
For sure. Sweet. Let's. I guess I want to do the patch last.
Yeah, I agree.
We got Clash coming March 14th and 15th.
Pog.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Is that for NA only again, or is that everyone?
Hopefully it's for everyone again. They moved it up 1 hour, which is nice, because I think starting at 9:30 was a little bit too late for us, personally.
Well, it's because you start at 9:30, but then you have a 30-minute waiting period.
Yeah, you can start anytime during that time, but we were starting, I don't know, we started at 10 one night, which was just way too late.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because now everyone is playing 3 games. Mm-hmm. And you have to wait for all the games to be finished. One for All is coming soon. They teased it. Go check out the teaser if you want. I have not.
The teaser is just a Yuumi just running across the field, and then another Yuumi gets on her, and then another Yuumi gets on her, and then another Yuumi gets on her.
It's awesome.
Funny. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Eternals are live. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, we'll use that as a roundtable question next week. I was gonna say, what would you want for All for One? What are you thinking? But we'll talk about that.
Like, what champ?
Yeah, who are you thinking? Let's give a little teaser.
A little teaser. I guess Yuumi would be pretty fun. Oh, Set. It's got to be Set, right?
I got mine, Nick. Mine's Ornn. Okay.
Yeah.
Every single player on your team can have 6 upgraded items.
Holy fuck. Okay, wait a minute.
You just have to build 6 upgradable items, but you can do it, because you can upgrade 4 others, and then you get your 2
plus the enemy team is going to be the same damage composition.
Yeah,
so for instance, everyone's got 6 epistle masks.
Yeah.
it'll be interesting to see if those are unique. If you can upgrade
too.
Can you double dip double Sunfire upgrade?
Right? You could do double Sunfire. I'm not sure if you can or not though. We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah. I just think Set would be fun. I don't think it would be very good, but just ulting one person just over and over.
Yeah. I remember there's a Reddit comment that I was reading of someone saying that they played a Vi comp where they would choose one person on the enemy team. Usually the person had a mismatching skin. And then they would just 5-man ult them every single time with Vi.
That's so fucking funny. Yeah, I bet they didn't win very much, but...
Yeah, that sounds fun.
That's got to be a good time. Nice. And then Eternals are live. So everyone's least favorite, monetization thing for some reason.
You can mute it in settings. It's very easy to mute if you're annoyed by it. So I don't think it's a big deal either way.
I don't think so either. I've already purchased two. I've got Lucian and Swain. So
hell yeah.
Pretty excited. I like it. On to the patch. Patch 10.15 is live. Or is not live, right? It's going live tonight?
It's tonight, I believe, yes.
Yeah, it's going live tonight. Sorry about that. So, first up, champions. Alistar. Base health is increased. Passive stack gain no longer has a cooldown after Alistar roars.
I think that's
so
huge.
In case someone... Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, because like, it's like you can stack it, right? So, if you're clearing a wave of 12 minions, it will like proc once and then immediately like store the second proc waiting for it to come off cooldown. And then it'll heal after the 3 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, rather than like if you killed 12 minions immediately, you just get the one roar and then you have no stacks on your next roar.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's a nice little change. I don't think it's huge, but I mean, like, it's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Amumu, our cooldown increased early. Yeah, he had a little bit too much power. I still feel like he wasn't actually as good as, like, maybe certain people like Colton thought he was, but he was still strong.
He was still good, but I don't think this is that big of a nerf, to be honest.
20 seconds.
Bard, passive chime damage is decreased. I believe this is in response to the Dead Man's Plate Rapid Fire Cannon Bard build.
I've played against it a bunch in solo queue. It's very strong.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he just runs around and just fucking slaps.
You see that? That's Bard's first nerf since release.
Really?
Yep. 5 years.
Interesting.
Zero nerfs.
Wow. It was like that for Trundle too as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like he didn't get buffer nerfed for fucking ever.
Yeah.
But...
Cool. Blitzcrank.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Blitzcrank getting a 3 armor decrease. Just like a small little like, hey, he's a little bit too strong. We're going to see if this like affects him at all. Which I think really that's a good way of dealing with characters.
Yeah, for sure. Especially in the bot lane where that armor is super valuable. Mm-hmm. Graves. Base MR and MR growth increased. Q cost now flattened. And the cooldown is decreased. You think Graves is coming back with this?
I feel like Graves is already like not bad. He has the lethality build and the crit build, which both are like I think playable. I just think him being a jungler with no CC like is like the only downside.
Yeah, I mean the slow is pretty fat, but not in comparison to like the Lee Sins or the Sejuani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kai'Sa, her Q AP ratio is being decreased, but the upgraded missile numbers are increased. W base damage and AP ratio are increased. Total attack damage is decreased, and upgrade cooldown refund increased. This is like, so the coolest thing is you can play AP Kai'Sa now, and her Void Seeker is pretty cool. So if you hit a character with your W, you still refund 50% of the cooldown. Now it's 70%. So you can just like rapid fire these things out of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a fun ARAM build, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that build is already the better of the two in ARAM, but yeah, should be pretty interesting. Kane, passive orb gain is increased. The W slow is decreased. Or is increased, I'm sorry.
I think I won a game with Blue Kane on my team, by the way, for the first time ever.
Whoa.
Let me make sure that I might end up losing it. Though.
Were you playing it?
No, my teammate, we were like losing. Oh, we lost it. Never mind. But he started carrying. We were losing the game really hard, and then he went Blue Kane. I went, oh, great, this again. I still, and then he started slapping people, and then we lost. But I still have never won a game with Blue Kane on my team in ranked.
When it wasn't you playing it, or?
I've played it like on Smurf accounts, yeah. Blue, but I've never had a Blue Kane on my team. And I've won, so I'm keeping that streak going.
Nice.
Lissandra Q AP ratio is increased. That's a nice little addition to her poke.
Yeah. Nico, base attack speed growth and ratio increased. E AP ratio increased. R shield increased.
I think this is a huge buff to support Nico.
Really? Oh, I guess. Yeah, it helps her engage a little bit with the shield.
Mm-hmm. I feel like support Nico's always been like pretty decent, though. I feel like she's being slept on a lot. I think she's good, though.
I think so, too. I think it's very similar to Zyra, like in that regard.
Very similar, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ornn's getting some like small adjustments. So his passive power damage is decreased. His item auto upgrade level is being increased by one. And his same with his ally upgrade items. So they're nerfing his passive like by like a tiny little bit. And then they're making all of his items come one later. So he gets his items at level 13, then his allies get them at 14, 15, 16, 17 now. Which, I don't think the ally items are that big of a nerf, because you usually don't care to give it to your support anyways, and your jungler usually doesn't build one anyways. So it's usually only, like, giving them to your, like, AD carry mid. So getting
Yeah, and generally they don't have them, like, super ready at that time,
yeah,
right?
Getting them at 14, 15 rather than 13, 14 isn't the end of the world, at least. Mm-hmm. I think you getting them at 13 instead of 12 is kind of like a sizable nerf. And then your passive damage, I really don't think is going to be the end of the world. He already does so much, like, absurd damage that I don't think it changes that much.
Yeah, you lose, what, 2% of your target's max health?
Yeah. I just feel this is a reasonable nerf, like, to, like, try to tone him back.
Yeah, I think so too. Rammus, base attack speed ratio has been decreased.
Who the fuck's playing Rammus? Set, he's getting some nerfs to his base armor, health regen Woo! Growth, and R slow duration.
Nice.
I think the health regen stuff is, like, a good choice. I'm not sure about the armor. I guess this is to combat jungle set, I would assume, more than top. Because I don't think it changes top too much. I feel like it maybe affects jungle a little bit more. And then I feel like the alt nerf isn't the right area to hit him. But who am I to say?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But, oh well. Mm-hmm. Sivir, Q damage is increased later. The ultimate minimum move speed now scales. Hmm. So nice little buffs to Sivir.
Yeah, that's actually, like, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Sona, base AD and AD growth are increased. E, self-movement speed increased. And now flat. I feel like they're going to change Sona's E for the next 12 patches in a row.
You think
they
so?
They cannot get this right.
Yeah. Cool. So they've changed out of range cast, which a lot of people are very upset about.
Yeah.
We
had a discussion about this a couple months ago when they changed a couple other ones. I believe they changed Malphite, and there was another one, I think, that they changed. And we
wasn't it Annie?
It might have been Annie's W. It wasn't her alt, though.
Yeah, I think it was her W.
Yeah, so once again, the discussion is that they're trying to make it so that the abilities work as intuitively as possible, right? Of these changes, Misfortune E and Varus E, it makes sense the way they change them. Before, you could cast them, and then you'd walk up and, like, walk to the location. If you cast them at a range, you'd, like, walk and then use the ability. Now they made them so that if you cast them at a range, they just cast at max range, which makes sense for Varus E and Misfortune E, right? Because those are abilities you just want to, like, catch people at, with rather than, like, position it perfectly. The problem is that people are upset about Misfortune, Syndra's Q, because sometimes you do want to, like, walk and then place it because it sets up your combo properly. It allows you, like, time to, like, get ready to, like, E them, your spheres away. That being said, I saw a lot of people saying that they're happy with the Syndra change. The reality is, and they've said they can't do this unless they do some back-end changes, we kind of do need toggles for stuff like this. I really do think we need toggles still.
Yeah, I think so too. At least, like, maybe not like an instant toggle, sort of, but just definitely something that you can change in a setting somewhere before the game starts.
Yeah, you should be able to choose if you want stuff like that to be, like, move up and then cast, or just cast at max range. Because I honest to God think, like, one of the biggest nerfs they've done to a character, like, without directly nerfing them, was changing the Malphite one, making it so that you just cast it at max range. It doesn't make sense to cast it as a max range for that ability. It just, like, kind of fucks up a lot of his stuff, because now you can't cast it, then flash to, like, immediately cast it when you're getting range. I don't know. It just feels like some weird changes. I do wish there was a way to, like, do a, like, setting toggle, but apparently it's a very, like, not, the game's not designed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, as kind of a cop-out as it feels, like, the game was developed, you know, a decade ago, if not more. So it's hard to expect these things in a game that old, I suppose.
I do think they're doing their best, right? Like, I don't think they hit the mark completely on the Syndra one, because I think it's more, like, divisive than the other ones. But I think Varus E and Misfortune are great abilities to make this change to.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that they say is, like, we'll follow up on them, like, if need be. So it sounds like they're willing to listen to feedback and change it back if need be.
Mm-hmm.
Jungle Champion. So buffs to Darius, passive, Mordekaiser passive and Poppy Q.
For, we talked a little bit about this last week in the fact that we don't think it makes Darius or Mordekaiser a jungler. They have like innate problems with jungling.
Yeah.
I don't think it actually does much for Mordekaiser regardless, but for Darius, it kind of makes it so that he can smash top harder than like go and heal off camps and stuff, which is kind of scary. But I think for Poppy, it's actually like a huge buff to her. Like, I feel like that's like a good amount of damage change. And I actually think it could be.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, I think Poppy jungle's already like, she's like probably like a C tier jungler. This might make her like a B or like a high B tier jungler, which is cool.
Yeah, she's definitely playable in the jungler, the jungle, better than these other characters, I think.
Some changes to turret plating. So turret plates grant more gold and take more damage from melee characters and are more resilient to group pushes. Meaning, so gold plates go back up to 160 from what they... That's what they were originally before the nerfs, right? I think. Yeah, I think that's fine. But they take 17% reduced damage from range attacks now, which I like. So it's like harder for like bot lane pushes or even just like little like poke sieges on it to take down those turrets.
I think so too, yeah. Nice. Blade of the Rune King. The current health damage is increased for melee champions.
It's a weird change, man.
Yeah.
Like, do you think this breaks any characters?
The only one that I've been thinking of is possibly Trundle, because he can get away with building both Blade of the Rune King and Hydra, which I guess we could talk about next.
Yeah. I don't think it affects Master Yi too much, like was my other one.
No, but, I don't think so.
Like, I feel like Master Yi just does too much damage. It doesn't really change that much. But Hydra is another weird one where they increase the lifesteal, they increase the area of effect, and it now occurs at your max attack range. So this is an item that's like spooky to like buff, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
As you mentioned, like the Trundles or like the Jaxes and stuff like that can run away with these items, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. Trundle, I think, definitely, because he's already sort of playable in the jungle. Also, Titanic Hydra, the passive damage to targets in the cone has been increased. So, helping with Wave Clear, and I believe that's about it.
They're making some changes to the support items. They now all require a... the tribute ones require an ally to be nearby, which I think is good. They're trying to get rid of some of that, famine... Senna build, or what are they calling it? Not famine,
like starving Senna or whatever.
Senna, yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Boots of mobility, the cost has been increased.
That's
by 100 gold.
Yeah.
It's weird. I guess it's just like Mobis are probably the second most popular like boot choice, right? But behind. Probably like Berserker Greaves, I imagine.
Well, yeah, Berserker AD carries like almost always. Berserker.
Yeah.
It's like probably like a 90%+ purchased. And then I guess every other boot is like pretty split between like you have a core boot, like say like Sork Shoes, and then you like go between the defensive boots. But yeah, I guess Mobis are pretty like consistent as well.
Yeah, I guess it's just like you can build Mobis on mid lanes, like if you need to roam. A lot of junglers build Mobis. Almost every support builds Mobis. I guess. I think this is the right way to go about it, though, making it just 1,000 gold more or 100 gold more.
Yeah.
Instead of reducing any of the like stats or anything like that.
They're also buffing Boots of Swiftness, which I like. I think those boots were like a little bit under like utilized. I feel like they're actually not bad.
Yeah. Especially now that it's 60 move speed, which is, 20 less than Boots of Mobility?
Yeah. It's actually like huge, I think.
Yeah. I think so.
Do you think they need to buff Lucidity boots? I feel like those are probably the worst boots in the game now.
How would they do it? Because I don't think you can give it more cooldown reduction.
What's the other stat? What's like the other
summoner spell cooldown reduction? Yes,
you probably can't fuck with that either.
Yeah.
Shit, man. Could you add like?
I guess just reduce the cost a little bit.
Maybe yeah. Reducing the cost is probably the right call, actually.
Yeah. I mean, that's a boring one. Could we ever? I mean, sure. Could you do, like, I don't know, 100 health?
I feel like you'd do, like, something like mana regen or something like that.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I could see that be, like, more synergy with having lower cooldowns.
Something like that, at least. You definitely can't fuck with summoner CDR or just CDR in general, though, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah.
cool.
We got several ARAM balance changes. Like we said earlier, Eternals are out. There are a number of bug fixes. And then we have four skins coming. Black Frost, Renekton, Alistar, and Rek'Sai, along with Hextech Sejuani. I agree. They all look super good. Are you going to pick up any?
I don't think so. My only problem was, like, I would pick up the Alistar one, but the color scheme of Black Frost looks a lot like Hextech, which I own. I like them, though. Yeah. I feel like they've been doing a great job with skin design. Have you looked at the ones that are on the PV right now? Like the Darkstar ones? Oh.
Yeah. The Darkstar Mord looks so sick.
It's some of the, like, they've been producing great content.
I agree. I did see a lot of comments about Lux getting not one, but two skins.
People are like, have started changing their mindset. They're like, I guess ever since, you know, they did that during the 10th anniversary thing, they said, here's all the skins we're going to do for like all the characters that don't have skins this year. I feel like people are like, you know what? We understand that the skin funds are other skins. So we're cool.
Yeah. I did see a comment that was like, yeah, my Talon and Taric. Like that, this Lux skin funded my Talon and Taric.
And I feel like that's like not a bad mindset to have. Like honestly, like it allows people to like understand that like skins do sell better, and if you do want stuff that like for your character, then the game needs to be doing well.
I agree. Good. I think these chromas look kind of just average though.
I think the white chromas always look so good. Look at the Black Frost white chroma for Alistar.
The white one looks super good. The one I don't like is if you look at it, the top middle, the like blue one, yeah. I think looks kind of bad. But it may just be like the I don't know, the picture quality, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sweet. So that's patch 10.5, which takes us into the LCS section, I believe.
Yeah, send us.
We're done with the news.
Reviews, because you don't have any. Do those on any of your review platforms. Cool. LCS stuff. Crown Leaf CLG.
Yeah. I like. Okay. I'm still on the Crown is a good player bandwagon. I'm not sure quite what happened here, because when he was on Optic, he was fucking dominant. Yeah. Right? It was Crown versus the rest of the game.
Or better yet, a year before that, when he was on not Samsung. Fuck. Was it Samsung?
Oh.
It was Samsung, yeah. When he was on Samsung, okay. Winning Worlds. He's also pretty dominant. Yeah.
Pretty dominant there, yeah. Just a shame, but yeah. Paul Belter just played better than him. His Victor in that TSM game.
That TSM game was rough to watch, man.
It was. I did like the, what was it? The Jet comment of like, yeah, when you get to this character to like six items and your combo is like on a 2 second cooldown and you fucking burst for 2000 damage, like you think, yeah, why don't I play this character always? And then you int a game and it feels terrible.
I've been telling people, I feel like that, Victor like is that the one character that that's Victor in a nutshell. Like Cassidy and stuff like that.
Double lift benched. He is splitting time with Tactical, his sub.
Yeah.
So he did have a statement sick, today, right? Like where he said, yeah, I like my passion sort of like fell, I don't know, a little bit, but being away from the game has definitely sparked that, and I'm going to earn my spot back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hell yeah. Do you think that he should have just taken a break this split or no?
So because of the way Spring Split now works, I think he should.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the best way to approach it. Like the split means nothing really in the grand scheme of things. And I think that's definitely the way to do it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I just feel like, a lot of teams, are still looking at Spring Split as like a huge thing to like finish, even though it literally has,
I'm sorry, a lot of teams. What?
I don't know. Nothing like comes of it, I guess.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, there's no benefit of winning Spring Split right now, but teams are
still... for sure. Yeah, for sure. And getting really upset when, like, their team doesn't do well, like, the fans.
Yeah, like, you should just be trying shit. Like, if someone, like, Double Lift isn't, like, feeling super motivated, fucking take a split off and stream. Like, he's gonna be the best AD carry when he comes back still, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems weird that, he's, like, kind of trying.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of a situation in Dota recently. Well, not, I guess, recently, but going into the international last year, the team that had won basically only practiced for 6 months because one of their players just went to play like on the Australian server with friends.
Yeah.
And then they came back and just fucking dicked everyone. So I think, like, I don't know, it's just an example of, hey, you don't always have to be playing the game 24/7 to be good at it and to be the best. Like, take a break, come back, and I don't know, show us what you got still.
I really hope that for next year Riot has like something that, like, something meaningful for Spring Split, man. Because I feel like if it's like this every year, teams are just gonna not give a shit in spring. And that's gonna be so sad to watch.
I think so too. Like, I think it would be such a good idea if spring were only like academy, right? So that way it meant something to those players at least, but then they would lose so much, like, they would lose so much money. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know, CLG is the worst team possibly in the major regions right now, and it doesn't matter because, hey, they just have to fix things before summer, right? I don't know.
I would still love, like, the idea of having, like, one longer split, like, rather than it being, like, a three-month split, like, maybe like a five-month split with, like, more games and stuff, but then have the other, like, months of the year, like, the spring split time period, to allow teams to, like, go to, like, open tournaments and stuff like that.
Yeah, or even hosting just, like, hey, we're gonna host, I don't know, pickups, like, exhibitions, where TSM and Team Liquid are gonna be there, and they're gonna draft, like, their team.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, that would be super sweet.
I just wish we had more international competition, though. Like, I feel like it'd be so sick if, like teams could go to, like, I don't know, like, DreamHack, like, has an event at during the spring split, right? And whatever teams want, they can go and qualify and play in DreamHack, like, because it's not, like, part of the season.
Honestly, like, I just want to see Twitch Rivals with, like, pro players, basically. Like, that's it. I fucking love watching Twitch Rivals. But, oh well. Cool. That's basically it for the LCS so far. So we're going to jump into roundtable.
Hell yeah. Last week's question was what champion would be the, would change the most if, Friendly Fire was enabled. Connor said, Friendly Fire was enabled and we would have to stand very far away from his team and position very, very carefully. Feels thematic. Ash said, I feel like Bard would be pretty annoying with his ult. His ult could hit teammates. Oh, wait. that's pretty funny. Nicholas said Gangplank would annihilate both teams at once, or TF revealing both teams to each other with his ulti. I like the idea.
Oh, that'd
TF
be interesting.
Your team is invisible. Mika said Senna ain't gonna know if she's gonna shield or hurt you. Also Annie popping out a bear in a team fight would just stand still for a second. I like the idea of, like, Senna Q, like, healing you and doing damage to you
at the same time.
Yeah. It's funny.
Oh, jeez.
Eddie said, Darius, he could just attack the tank 5 times and stack up his passive, then run and get an instant 5 stack on enemies. I think there'd be so many cool strategies like that. Like, it'd be such a fun mode for a day. Alex said, Blitzcrank, pull your ADC back when he decides to frontline again. from our Discord, PZ15 said, Jinx, you just kill off one of your own teammates to try to pass up for a team fight. That's actually really, really cool.
Yeah, I guess, like, if they're very low, then yeah.
Yeah, you just fucking execute someone. I feel like denying teammates would be the best thing, though.
Yeah.
I hate name picking said, Zillion misclick revives the enemy 20-0 NAS.
Yeah.
That'd be really rough. OL Mersh said, Soraka, no fun zone, 0 deaths for anyone, count as the Karthus.
Oh, Jesus.
Soraka would be a nightmare, man. And then this week's question is one trick ponies. How did your champ make you say this is my champ? And who do you one trick?
What if
you're not a one trick anymore, Nick?
What if we're not a one trick?
I know neither of us are one tricks anymore, really. I guess, like, I'm kind of a Pyke one trick more so, I guess. What about you?
I guess, like, all right, right now I've been playing Taric, like, a lot recently. And I've just kind of decided, like, I don't care if he's good or not. I just like playing Taric.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's, like, one of the most impactful champions in the game, and his skill, like, ceiling is so high that it feels very good to play him well. I mean, if you're able to get off like a multi-man stun, like you probably win the fight. If you're able to get off like a really well-timed ulti, you probably hard win the fight. Like, I like the fact that sometimes the best play is to auto-attack minions so you can heal more.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, stuff like that, where there's a lot of decision-making and ability to have high impact is super cool.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I like those, like, high-risk, high-reward characters. They mm-hmm. do, like, almost give me ranked anxiety sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you go, oh, I fuck this up. I'm literally going to lose my team in the game. But also, those are the coolest things to, like, pull off, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess Pyke for me is because I feel like he just has the most impact. Like, it's weird, like, I've never been, like, a meta slave player, but I realize characters like Pyke, I go, holy fuck, this character just gives your team more gold, and gold tell you in games. Why don't I just play this character every game? And he's also fun. I feel like playing characters that are enjoyable is way more important than anything right now. Like, I don't think I could play, like, just a boring character, like, 100 games.
Yep, for sure. I actually feel like a lot of characters are, if not viable, then certainly playable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's an unplayable character in League right now.
Like, who do you think is the most boring character to main, I guess? And are they viable?
Most
boring, viable character. I think Garen. I think Garen's really good right now. And yeah. I feel like he's... Dude, I couldn't play Garen every game, man.
No, I couldn't either.
It's crazy.
It's just... I feel like it's far too binary with Garen.
Yeah.
Like, there's... I mean, the only decision-making lies with, what, his ulti? Or no, I'm sorry, with his W and that's it?
Yeah. Also, I just looked and Tark has the highest win rate in the game right now, so...
Oh, sweet. I can't wait for him to get nerfed.
If no one plays him, though, you're fine, probably.
What's his pick rate?
Let me see. I know his win rate was 54 point something. His win rate's 54.4, and his pick rate's 4%.
Okay, yeah, that's probably too high.
It's still really low. Like, highest pick rate right now is Ezreal at 50%.
Interesting, Ezreal.
Oh, sorry, 40%, but yeah. Ezreal's really good right now. I hate Ezreal, man. I hate that he has, like, zero agency in lane, but he's really strong.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what can you do, right?
For sure.
So, if people want to send us their roundtable questions, they can go to our Facebook page at LeagueCast Podcast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. You can do so by going to our website, leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord.
Nice. On to Mail Fight. First email is from Spencer. He says, last week you guys asked the question of what champions in the game were the most fair. I enjoyed many of the responses, but I immediately got to thinking of the opposite. That's not to say characters who may be powerful in the current meta or have numbers that need balanced, but champions whom I believe have something unfair built into their design philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I found two main categories of champions that are unfair. First is champions who have infinite scaling. Champions like Veigar, Thresh, Cho'gath, Senna, and Kindred, as well as champions who abuse infinite scaling runes, such as Gangplank with Grasp. Given the current state of League, specifically with regard to game length, most of these champions are not particularly problematic, except Senna. However, having played since 2011, I've watched the game lengths wax and wane throughout different metas. It feels really bad to be trapped in a long game that you have invested a lot of time and effort into, and feel like your opponents simply have better stats than their characters. I'm all for characters with different levers of scaling that spike at different points in the game, but infinite power just feels like too much. The second category of champions I feel are unfair are ones that abuse you via your own teammates. Champions like Brand, Fiddlesticks, Zilean, and others. It's incredibly frustrating to position yourself out of range of a fed opponent, only for an ally to one or two close and come back with a fireball, crow, or bomb. It's hard enough to position yourself around opponents without having to worry about your allies threatening you as well. There seems to be little counterplay to it, as you can't really abandon your team and expect to win. It almost feels like you have to just factor in taking this damage as a given. It also just serves to breed hostility among teammates in an already often toxic game. I have had teammates flame me and then leave game for catching a Fiddlesticks Crow as a tank that then killed them. Bonus, a couple items I think are unfair are Static Shiv and Ludens for the same reason as the above champions. Sorry for the long email, Spencer. I like that you included reasonings that, I mean, we may not necessarily agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think infinite scaling is generally fine. I do feel that way with Vayne.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, it feels very bad to shit on a Vayne all game and then she hits two items and the game's over. But Yeah, I guess we didn't really consider the like sort of unintentional damage that you take from these characters is unfair.
Yeah, I like the discussion of infinite scaling as like a mechanic, because I feel like it's something that's very frustrating to play against, in the fact mm-hmm. that you're on a clock. I feel like being on a clock in a game like this is kind of doesn't feel good in a way.
No, it doesn't, yeah.
That being said, I feel like it's handled well for the most part in League.
Yeah, I think so too. I think with the exception of like the characters who just hit certain item points and
mm-hmm.
become very difficult to handle properly. I think Yasuo is another example. Like when he hits 100% crit, it just, he becomes a different character, like on a different level.
Yeah, I think it's like less the infinite scaling. Like when you think of like the Nasus or the Veigars or who are some other ones? Does Sion still have infinite scaling?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, he does.
I was going to say Swain. Like those ones, I don't think those mechanics are bad. It's more like the characters, like, yeah, I think Yasuo is a big one. I think Tryndamere is a big one.
Yeah.
The ones that when they get like 5 or 6 items, they just like push down your base and you lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's different than infinite scaling, but it kind of feels like infinite scaling.
I think so too. I think it's just like a peak that many other champions can't reach, period.
Mm-hmm.
And they reach it sooner and harder, I guess, is like a good way to think about it.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Spencer. Do you want to get the next one?
Sure.
You can be my Colton this week.
From I'm a Fishy, right?
Yeah.
I'm a Fishy here with a couple of things that came to mind listening to last week's emails. Sorry, last week was long. This one's also kind of long. Weaknesses aren't as simple as a counter. The example used in an email last week was Evelynn. I have more games on her than any other character. Evelynn is not countered by pink wards. They're just a potential weakness. A good Evelynn leaves pink wards and plays around them to make people feel safe. It's all a mind game. That's why Evelynns tend not to grab sweeper unless they suspect their camps are warded, which is worse than pink wards. The ultimate cooldown is negligible. Same with mobility. The charm is also a mind game. The timer could be a weakness, but isn't necessarily. In the early game, she does need to proc the full charm to have a kill threat, but oftentimes during late game, you just throw out a W on someone else, and when they back off, it splits the team away from the true target. You can use your combo, which comes with movement speed, range, and dashes. These alleged predictable things about Evelynn allow me to have the enemy waste vision and leave themselves open. I have found similar things on Twitch, whereas mid laners will ward to stop the level 2 gank, but you can just gank through lane, and if you don't have to, and you don't even have to gank anymore anyway, since everyone plays back to respect the level 2. In no way am I saying that there's no counterplay. I'm just saying that it's not as simple as people make it out to be. I think there's times, I think oftentimes an oversimplification of a champion is fairly counterproductive for all but the newest of players. As a rule of thumb, champions do have weaknesses, but a good player learns how to play around them, and that's what makes them a better player. Does better not getting kited than new one. The biggest and only true counter that I can think of is Nunu into Rek'Sai. If Nunu rolls a snowball, Rek'Sai can unburrow, which causes Nunu to go into space for a random amount of time because of Riot Spaghetti Code. So, sincerely, I'm a Fishy. A side note, pink wards are always a good buy, and Evelynn on the enemy team causes you to buy them, buy more than you seem to buy more in general. I think that's fair. I think like those are all really, really good points. I was gonna like bring up another like weird counter like that, but I don't remember where it was in the actual discussion there. But I feel like that's actually a really good like point. I think there's a lot of soft counters in the game, and there's not as many hard counters as people think.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there are truly any hard counters. There are certainly like I almost said very soft, which kind of goes against that, but like soft counters that are very close to hard counters.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, I'm a Fishy. Next email is from Qmez, who says, I saw that Nick's Discord name is King Lardout. My best buddy's nickname is King Lardicus, which is super similar. He's a fatty who earned that nickname by embracing his fat assery. What's the origin of Nick's nickname. He doesn't look like no fatty I ever seen. Also, here's a question. Which League of Legends character do you think smells the best? And which one smells the worst? I imagine Singed would be a stinky boy, and Soraka would smell like bananas. Interested to hear your thoughts. I don't think I've ever been, like, a fatty, but honestly, my name is just a jumble of letters that I put into my fucking RuneScape character creation, which was just Lard Out at first, and then that account I lost access to, probably just forgot the password, so then I just attached King in front of it, and that was it. That's all she wrote.
Hell yeah.
Nothing, like, super special, unfortunately. Which character do you think smells the best, Aiden?
Who's, like, I don't know, probably like Jace or something.
Oh, okay.
I think Jace would be a good one.
Okay, that's a good one. Probably like Ahri or Evelynn, I think.
Yeah.
Characters that are intentionally designed to get you in.
They don't have like too much of like a potent like smell though.
A potent smell. Musk.
Yeah, musk. Got that musk.
Who do you think's the worst smelling character, and why is it Sion?
I was gonna say Twitch. He's literally a sewer rat.
That's true. Although Sion's just a dead corpse. He's dead, brought back to life, fair. Right? Alternatively, Yorick, who just hangs out in like next to undead things. Yeah. Probably also stinky.
There's probably a lot of stinky characters in League though, so.
Do you think there are more stinky or like good smelling characters?
Probably more stinky characters. I think it's probably pretty close though. Like for the most part.
Give us more stinky boys.
Yeah, give us more stinky boys. That's what we want.
Give us more stinkers, right?
That's what's holding us back from becoming good League players. Not enough stinky characters.
More stinky female characters, please.
That's weird. You can't say
that. Good. Thank you, Kimas.
Cool. The next one is from Bo, I think. The subject is friendly fire thoughts. I think that the friendly fire portion of the discussion was awesome, and I would like to throw in my thoughts on favorite champion for this. It would have to be Misfortune. Wait until a big team fight and just alt and take out both teams. Would be epic. Keep up the great work. Really enjoy the show. Thank you very much. That's a good suggestion.
That's a good one. Yeah, Misfortune would fucking blow up teams.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Bo. Next email is from Kellen. Hi, guys. I know this might sound creepy, but it's not, so it's probably creepy then. I was trying to figure out what you guys look like, and it got me thinking that I would love to watch you guys do the podcast live, sort of like how Joe Rogan does his on YouTube. If there's a way you could do that, I would be interested. Thanks, your boy, Kellen. We've definitely talked about this in the past. I think it's just a lot easier for us, like from a technical perspective, to just record the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess because we do the shows in Discord, which means mm-hmm. we would probably need to stream in Discord. If we could figure that out, there's a potential for it. It's certainly not something we're adamantly against, I think. Just something we don't currently have on the docket.
Yeah. It just requires us to like set up some more stuff. Maybe eventually.
Though. Yeah.
I like the idea.
If I'm not mistaken, we have pictures on the website, right?
We do have pictures on the website. Leakcastpodcast.com/hosts, I think, plural. Yeah.
Hosts, plural, probably. Yeah. thank you, Kellen. Cool. And go creep on us.
Yeah, go creep on us. next one is from Undertone. He says, hey guys, it's your boy Undertone here. With a not so juicy email. I usually email in spicy emails with lots of content, but it's been quite a while. But I'm just going to hold my titles Undertone, the David guy, and the one who came up with the sticky kids meme, as well as 10 out of 10 and many others for now. Here's my dope League class skins from last week's roundtable section. He said, Candy Caden.
ooh, that's a good one.
You are the candy champion. I like that description. I just wish someone just told me in life I was the candy champion. Nick the King Koopa. You're the king of all Koopas in the Mario realm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Bowser, right?
Yep. Just Bowser. Yep. Colton Blue Basket. Boo. You are the heart seeker version of yourself. anyways,
nice.
That's my half-baked idea I got while driving. Hope you all have a good time. Take it easy. You have to take it easy as well, my friend.
So, which of us do you think is the most powerful character, right? It's certainly not Colton.
I feel like Seeker? The Candy Champion, like, just rules the lands.
Candy Champion's very strong. Sweet I think tooth. You may be able to entice my low IQ Koopas. But depends on how much candy you got, I think.
Yeah, probably does.
Yeah. That's a 60-40 matchup right there.
Yeah.
Next, email's from Noah. Thank you, Undertone. The year is 2022. Riot has baked in friendly fire to the game after a rotating game mode which featured it was more popular than regular Summoner's Rift. You're in your platform promo series, and it's 2-2. At the start of champ select, your AD carry bans out your support, who is hovering Pyke. Bet, says the support, who lacks an Alistar. Your jungler lacks in set, so it's not all too bad. You're a team player and trying your hardest to promote for the first time since you got plat that one time in TFT. You lock in the 15th Rise rework and just try to be positive. When the game starts, Alistar immediately boinks the AD carry out of base so they can get to Pixel Brush faster. He aggroes the fountain and gives the Draven 5 gold. But it was 300, but people killed each other too much, so Riot reduced it. It's 12 minutes into the game, and your bot lane is 0-5 combined. Every time Draven goes to catch an axe, Alistar boobs him away. Set tries to ult you in for a gank, but it ends up killing both of y'all. And your top laner is about to get Flame Horizon because he's getting camped by their Gnar jungle with Predator. OP, by the way. False. 15 minutes in, the enemy jungle mid-top are doing Rift Herald, but Set ults the roaming Alistar into the pit, and Alistar boops their jungler away, allowing Set to smite it. Your top lane comes down, and you guys somehow kill their Gnar, Darius, and chase away their mid lane Kalista. You collect your left ear of the Herald and start to base because you're out of health and mana. Your top lane Nasus starts walking towards you. You flash, but it's too late. He withers you and chases you down for that juicy plus six. You throw out the FF vote and it fails 3-2. Noah. I like that a lot. I like the idea of Nasus just like refusing to let your ally live. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, Noah.
Yeah. Next one's from Deal, I think.
You're going to be able to read this whole thing, dude?
I don't know. There's as many lasagnas as there are layers of pasta. Thank you for coming to Lasagna Talk.
Okay.
Very cool email.
I like it.
Yeah.
How many layers of pasta usually go into a lasagna? That's
like I don't know.
It's like 5 or 6, right?
I was going to say at least 5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah.
But as many as you want, really.
That's true. How many is too many? How many is too many?
Probably like 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. As long as you like get it big enough, right? You just can't grow it. Like you can't be like, it can't be taller than it is wide.
Taller than it is.
It has to be like not a cube, right? It has to be like, a rectangular brick.
Yeah. That's pretty fair.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thank you. Dial. Next email is from Pona. Hello, LeagueCast. First time emailing. I've been listening to the podcast for a couple months now and finally decide to support you guys and become a patron. Thank you. We appreciate it. Now to the questions. I've got two. The first is what your guys' opinions are on supports right now. What kind of support you prefer, such as engage supports, utility, poke, etc. As an AD carry main, I personally feel like engage supports the most due to the outplay potential. The sad thing is, I almost always get the utility / poke supports on my team. I feel that in almost every game, my support gets caught by a blitz or a thresh hook, and I almost always need to burn heal to keep him or her alive. They might flash, but that's even worse. I once played with two different brands. The first one probably didn't know they could stun with him. They kept just spamming their spells in complete random orders like QEW or QWE. The other game was not as bad, but it tilted me even more. First thing I noticed is that he took E level 1. That's not ideal, but it works. So I pushed for level 2, and both bot laners hit it around the same time. And so the Thresh hit a hook on me almost under our turret, and he ends up taking the second Q and gets in turret range. Then I see Brand uses the E, and I think, great, a stun under turret level 2 equals easy first blood. Well, little did I know that Brand took level 2, which ends up costing us first blood. Oh, Jesus. Okay, the second question is about mute all or full mute all. I personally use full mute all. I feel like I can 100% focus on my gameplay, etc. Of course, I miss out on some pings and so on, but I feel like it's worth it. I sometimes have junglers that invade their buffs when we don't have prio bot lane and end up dying because of it. Then he blames me, and support for not having Prio that tilts me a lot, hence why I use Full Mute All. Sorry for the long email, but hopefully you have time to read it all. Cheers. Have a good one, Pana. Of course we got time for your email, Pana. So yeah, it's that scenario is pretty funny. I don't think taking E first on brand is that bad because it's guaranteed damage rather than the potential for a miss.
It's pretty bad.
It's probably not ideal. It is certainly the wrong play if you're going W second. So he, I could see like EQ. I'm sorry.
I go W at first every game. I play a lot of brand. I'm a brand connoisseur. Yeah. I go W every game, right? Because most damage, big damage.
Yes.
You just throw it at their wave, right? And you hope that you hit them. That's your goal. Is you throw it at their like their caster minions, and you hope you hit them. Because if you don't, you're still pushing the wave, which gets you level two faster. Cool.
Yeah. Or you take some CS, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. And then level two, if they're not going to engage on you, I go E every single time.
Oh, okay.
I'd say I go E like 80% of games. I go Q if like they're playing aggressive or whatever, because you do need the stun, because it's really important. But if not, I go E second every single time because it's the cheesiest fucking garbage. Because I continue to throw my W on the back way, right? Like,
oh.
And then when I do miss, or even if I hit it, right? It hits, and then they back up, and then they come back into the wave, and then I E the minions, and it fucking spreads to them again.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So your playstyle doesn't change, like, based on your ability. But you still get like extra damage. That's kind of smart.
Yeah, they can't not position behind their minions either, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just so free.
Yeah, nice. Makes sense. As for supports, I think both of us prefer to play engage supports, because they're the most fun, especially if you're duo with your AD carry or you can communicate with your AD carry pretty well. I don't know if Tara counts as a engage support. I think he's sort of like,
I'd say
he does everything okay. But yeah, I think like in general, engage supports, because I like to start fights. Otherwise my team just won't.
It's so nice to have an impact on the map in different ways.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And being able to like leave lane and not rely on hitting a, like Nami bubble, for instance, right? You could lead with Leona E or something like that. Next one. Yeah, I mean, if Full Mute All works for you, then by all means, go for it. It would be nice to be able to communicate to you in pings, but I don't think that is going to win you or lose you, like, really any games, to be honest.
I always have my team chat muted. I guess on some of my Smurfs, I don't have it muted, but I feel like I enjoy the game less when I have it not muted.
I have turned on or turned off all chat, and it has been fantastic. Yeah, the only thing I don't like is that I can't say GG.
Yeah, I think it's so funny that we play different ways. You have all chat turned up, and I have team chat turned up.
Yeah.
I do think they both provide their own thing, because you get tilted more from enemies shit talking, right? For like no reason. Whereas I like thrive off that shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like if someone is going to say something on my team, I want to type back to them, which is super negative, that's fair. Right? Whereas you can at least like hold yourself back. Even like I've been playing a lot of ARAMs with my girlfriend a lot, right? And I've had team chat off for those. Dude, fucking ARAM only players are the fucking worst.
Absolutely.
They actually just like bitch and complain the entire game. And I'm, like, they're always like never played rank, fucking level 200, only play ARAM by themselves. And they always complain. It's so awful. Like, I don't know how you could live your life that way.
Yeah. I don't either.
Also, Kennedy wanted me to ask you, Nick. When I was at her house for that week, one night I was like, I wanted to watch like the finals for Smash Summit. So she played a game of ARAM with you guys. And then she played another game of ARAM with you guys. And she played Miss Fortune. But that was actually me. Did you know?
I guess I didn't. I guess I didn't. I also didn't pay attention. Then I was probably not entirely focused on the ARAM that we were playing.
Yeah, she was like on mic though the entire time, and I was like playing.
I guess I did not.
It's like 2 weeks ago at this point, but like still, like, because we were gonna tell you like the week after I got back on the recording, but I completely forgot about it.
Yeah,
but we thought it was funny to see if you could tell or not. So
I do think there's a massive difference between you and Kennedy and me and my sister.
Yeah, of course.
To be fair. I think like one of those would be a lot more difficult to
I think to if you were like supposed to like sit down and like identify gameplay, I think you could tell more obviously.
Yeah.
But like just casually playing while like you're not suspecting anything. Like just my play, because we were like laughing about it, because I play AD carry super aggressive on ARAM. I was like frontlining the entire time on Miss Fortune, like microing back and forth. And she's like, there's no way I would ever do that.
Yeah. But, like, yeah. I probably even commented like, damn, Kennedy, nice job. Like something like that. that's super fun though. That's fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure out ways to incorporate that into other places. Thank you, Pana.
Last email from Dream Villain Jay. He says, hey guys, it's your boy Dream Villain Jay. I've been listening to the show for over 6 months now, and I can honestly say that you've y'all have been beneficial to me in becoming a better League player. That's awesome. This is my first season playing ranked. I'm currently in my promos to get silver. That's fucking crazy. I have a question for you guys. Is jungle a role that you believe can consistently climb or even carry games in? I found the most success playing mid, but I find myself a jungle Evelynn main. Evelynn main. Do you guys think it's much easier to affect the game playing mid than jungle, as the meta seems to revolve around roaming mids? Sorry for the long message, Dream Villain J. P.S. You guys are more than welcome to shorten this down in the interest of time. All good.
No, you're good, dude.
I think jungle is the best role in the game.
I agree. I think we both share this sentiment. They have by far the most impact on the game, which in turn means that if you are good enough at your character and at the role, that you could hard carry almost every single game that you're in. I would say that comes a lot with just experience with playing the game. And if this is your first season, it may be a little bit easier to play another role. But if you're enjoying jungle and you're doing well at it, like, keep going, because the more you play jungle, the better you get. And I don't think there will ever be a meta where jungle is truly as worthless as it is being made out to be.
Yeah.
Because it's still kind of the best role in the game right now.
Yeah, it just has so much impact. You can like do so many things. You can carry playing different roles, like play styles as well, like playing tank jungles, invade jungles, like farm heavy jungles.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy good. Like I've been talking a lot about my main feeling like super competitive, and that's mostly because like I'll have like an Elise who I think is the best jungler in the game right now. Mm-hmm. Like just fucking flash cocoon someone level 2, kill them, and then I'll be playing aggressive bottom lane and we'll just like hit level 3 or level 4 dives, because you can just like do crazy things with jungle.
Yeah, I would contest that Lee Sin, I think, is still the best jungler in the game, but I think it's also a lot more difficult to play optimally. But yeah, I stick with jungle, dude. Evelynn, I think, is a good starter character because she kind of has a combo that plays itself. And eventually, if you get ahead, you will one-shot someone, regardless of who that person is, I think. What other like characters would we recommend? Obviously, Elise, like you were mentioning, I think has a very similar playstyle to Evelynn. And that'll probably transition over pretty well.
I think the best tank junglers right now are Zac and Sejuani. I think Zac's super good right now. He's like he gets free yanks, which I think is the main problem that like a lot of low elo players have is like ganking and getting caught by wards and stuff. But Zac can kind of avoid all of those, which is cool. Kind of similar to Evelynn. Another one that kind of plays itself but is very limited in its playstyle is Shyvana. AP Shyvana is crazy strong. I think mostly because, well, first of all, she does too much damage, but B, because she plays herself, right? You don't engage until you have Dragon, then you have Dragon, you just spit fire on people.
Yeah, I've been watching Colton spam it when he streams, and the character does so much fucking damage, dude. It's disgusting. Yeah.
And you can still play cheese shit like Jarvan. Like, the reason why Jarvan's strong, the reason why Rek'Sai's strong, the reason why Elise is strong is because they can cheese level 2 ganks. Like, you can just trade your flash for a laner's flash, like, every single time, or kill them.
And that is, like, by far such a value trade for you. Because on none of those characters do you absolutely need flash, with maybe the exception of Rek'Sai, to guarantee a kill. Like Jarvan, if you hit your knockup, they're dead. Elise, if you hit the stun, they're dead. Rek'Sai, like, if you get in range to get the knockup, they're dead. So
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That is it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We will, I guess, see you next week for 420. Follow us on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Send us emails, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. Check out our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. If you go to leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord, you can get a link to our Discord server, or you can click on the little widget on the homepage to connect to the server. We stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardout. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you all for listening, for your Patreon support, and we'll see you next week for 420. Bye.
Bye.